You were born with individual strengths and a unique purpose. Don't let fears, false beliefs, or life's happenings diminish your influence. It's time to live and lead for impact. Host Kirsten Ross, expert of transformation, will help you defeat the drama and overcome the trauma that can stop you in your tracks. You'll gain focus, find confidence, and take bold action. Unleash passionate, purposeful you. Let's go.
Welcome to Live and Lead for Impact. I'm Kirsten Ross, your host, and this is episode number 161. Thank you so much for joining me today. I have an awesome guest. I'm telling you, we've been having a blast talking before this interview even started. So you are in for a treat. He's going to be motivational and fun. So his name is Freddie Fry. He is a life champion, entrepreneur, speaker, voiceover talent, basketball coach. I mean, the list goes on. International underground hip hop artist and motivational lyricist slash speaker. Freddie's a man that wears many hats, as you can see, that all fit under one umbrella, life transformer. Freddie's a master of transforming, reinventing, and changing not only his persona, but the lives of others. He's known by many in numerous countries throughout the world as Playa 1000, hip-hop artist extraordinaire, but he made a decision to reinvent himself and combine the power of speech, story, spoken word, and hip-hop to become the empowering life transformer Freddie Fry, your push-a man. I don't know if I'm cool enough to say all these words, Freddie.
No. You know, as we would say in the hood, you murdered that intro. It was phenomenal. Yes, you did.
I'm not even done with it yet. I'm going to use that.
That is great. Thank you so much. I'm pumped. Who is this Freddie Fry guy? Who is this?
I know. We're like, I want to know more. But wait, there is a little bit more.
That's a lot.
So, yes. I mean, because, man, you're up to, you are making your impact in this world. So the reason he calls himself a life champion is, and is so passionate about making every day a Wednesday, which I love that, W-I-N-S-D-A-Y, is because in spite of his mother passing away when he was 4 years old, growing up in a home with a mentally abusive drug-addicted stepmom, being bullied in school, selling drugs as a young adult, raising four children as a single dad, and I've been a single mom, I know that is tough, and not obtaining a bachelor's degree until 43, he found a way to persevere through the adversity and win. That is all caps, people. Not only financially, but mentally as well. He delivers stories from his own personal experience and several unique ways to captivate, empower, and inspire people of all ages. All right, now I bring you the amazing Freddie Fry. So welcome. Oh, we have a lot to talk about, I think. You have overcome so much, and yeah. Just your intro is so inspiring. So, you know, in your own words, what life experiences have motivated you to make your impact?
Well, we can do this the normal way, or I can do this the hip-hop way. Which way would you like?
Let's go for the hip-hop way. Absolutely.
Out the gate, here's my story. Here's what I overcame. We can go back and then we can touch on the hot spots once we get through, okay?
All right.
Here we go. I tapped into my wildest dreams of being great. Demons threw the hook, I almost took the bait. Was hungry for success but couldn't get a plate. I wished for greatness early, but my genie only granted late. Mama sick. Doctor's diagnosis faulty. Prescriptions messed her kidneys up. That still haunts me. They told her not to have me, but she wouldn't abort. She said no, even if it cut her life short. In the car with mama slumping, daddy speeding. Final breath was taken, left my heart bleeding. Age 4, my mommy got her wings early. I still question why she didn't live to see 30, y'all. Papa scooped me up and took me from that drama. At least it wasn't until he met my stepmama. Crazy is as crazy does. She took the cake. I broke down because I felt I couldn't catch a break. Another tale of a lost soul. Study said that I wouldn't live to be old. Shy boy, hoop dreams, word is so cold. They used to bully me, but then I finally struck gold. 1-2 and you don't stop. I fell in love when I got introduced to hip hop. My new release, we all need a good release. When I put that pen to pad, it gave me total inner peace. So So let me introduce the new me to me. Confidence erupted. I was truly thankful, blessed, no longer just a guest in my own mind. My friends, dig deep and you will find that greatness lives in you. So go retrieve it in your mind. Keep pushing through. Be patient. It will happen in due time. See, the fish can only bite if you keep casting out the line. So believe in you. Block out the shade and let your sun shine on through. That's me in a nutshell.
Wow. That, I don't even have words. I mean, you have many words, and that was amazing. Like, you captured that whole intro, and yeah, I should have just skipped the intro and let you do that.
No, that's perfect. You did great. No.
Wow. Phenomenal. Wow. So how are you making your impact, and what is your goal? What's your vision for the impact that you are in the process of making?
My ultimate goal is, and I tell people this all the time, is that people were transparent with me, and that helped me transform. And so I'm transparent in hopes that it helps other people transform. And so we try to give people practical tips and strategies to help them overcome whatever obstacles they're facing in life and put themselves in a position to win each and every day. So ultimately they win in life, and thus they make every day a Wednesday.
That's awesome. So tell me, what was your aha moment? I mean, can we go to that time you're selling drugs? Were you using drugs as well, or just selling?
No, you know, that's what's so crazy about me. I'm blessed to, I've never drank and I've never smoked and I've never did any drugs in my life because my stepmom did them all for me. And I had no desire to ever do them at all. And I was very, very, I started selling drugs basically because the circle that I was around were selling them.
Yeah. And that was, you're like an entrepreneur.
Yes.
You were I need to make money.
I had a baby. I was broke and I was broken. And I was scared though. I had a lot of fear in me. So I wasn't like a regular drug dealer that just like didn't have that fear. Mm-hmm. I was like, no, that was something I said I would never do. Mm-hmm. And it just so happened, the young lady that I was dating, her brother knew the other guys that were in my circle that sold drugs. And he was like, I know you don't really want to sell it, but if you would get it and then give it to me, then I'll sell it for you. And so I became the middleman. That's what kind of got me started into selling drugs. But what happened was, I was basically trying to do hip hop music, but on the other side, I was living very reckless. And so I had 4 children by the time I was 25.
Wow.
Yes. 3 girls and a boy. And I was just, again, I was trying to be an entrepreneur and trying to be innovative. And I was more like the founding father of hip hop in Tulsa, Oklahoma. So I was pretty much one of the first ones to do anything and almost everything as it relates to hip hop. But at the same time, I was messing up my credit. I didn't stay in college. I was, you know, having babies. I was just living really reckless. And so I grew up in North Tulsa, Oklahoma, which is the ghetto, which is the hood, right? And where we come from, it's just the ultimate, the mindset is that if you have babies and you're not with the baby mama, as we say, baby mama, then she's going to raise them and you're going to see them when you see them. And that was kind of what was happening in my situation. And so I went to bed one day, just regular day, woke up the next morning and just my eyes opened up and I looked at the ceiling and everything had changed. In my life, just overnight, it was just like,
wow.
They always say, yeah, it's crazy. They say that a cerebral cortex in your brain controls your reasoning. Mm-hmm. And I think mine finally developed at that moment. And so when I woke up, I could see all of the error of my ways. Like before then, I was just living. I was happy-go-lucky. I was just reckless. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And I never thought about anything.
So you're like living for the moment. I need the money for the moment. Whatever happens in the moment. I'm working on, I got these 2 businesses basically, right? Your hip hop stuff and then selling drugs.
Perfect. You said that perfectly.
But keeping yourself clean, because obviously there was a part of your brain that thought, you know, to manage all this stuff, I have to be focused.
Yes.
Can't be messing up. Wow. Yes. So you literally overnight. And so what changed when you got out of bed that day?
This is what's the most crazy thing is that when I woke up, I just kind of thought for a second. I was like, oh, my God. If it would have been like present day, I would have said, OMG. That's what I would have said.
Or an emoji, something. Yeah.
And I looked at the ceiling. I was like, I could realize, like, again, I knew I was in a real deep hole. I knew it was going to take me a long time to get out of it. But the first thing I thought was, I have to gain custody of my children. That was the first thing I thought, because I wasn't living in the hood anymore. I was like living in a better neck. I wasn't just doing, you know, tremendously, but I was doing better than my children's mother was. I had all my kids by one lady.
Mm-hmm.
But she was like still living in the ghetto, still living in the hood. My kids were, youngest was 3, the oldest was 7, and they were seeing a lot. And at that exact same time, pretty much within that realm of time, she called me and asked me if I would come get the kids for a little while. She was going through a rough patch.
Mm.
And so I told her yes. And I'm living in a 1-bedroom apartment. So I went and got 4 kids. And I had them sleeping on pallets, and they were excited, happy about it and all that. You know, I'm like, wow. Oh my God, what is going on here? You know? But they were
life's
happy.
Changing a little bit, yeah.
Oh my God, it changed.
Okay, then, I mean, if you're a believer, if someone's a believer, you're thinking there's some divine intervention coming, you know, happening with all the timing of all this.
True. Definitely. Definitely. And so I had them for maybe about a week, and the mom called me back. She said, okay, everything's a little bit better. Can you bring the kids back? And I said, sure, I'll bring them back under one condition. And I said, if this happens again, then I'm going to gain custody of them and go and let them live with me. And of course, she didn't believe me. She was like, okay, whatever, just bring them back, you know.
So
took them back. A couple of weeks later, I get a call from her sister, and she's like, Fred, you really need to get those kids. They are really seeing some things they shouldn't be seeing. And so
it must have been hard to take them back after that week, even.
You know what? I think they were kids, and I think kids just kind of go with the flow. You know, I think it was harder for me than it was.
That's what I mean.
For
having them there. And
Yes. I think I was still in that phase, like that, like, what in the world am I? I don't know. I didn't know what I was.
Yeah.
Doing,
that was a big, yeah.
And so she called me again. She asked me to get them. I said, okay, now, you know, I'm going to keep them now. And of course, she still didn't believe me. First thing I did is I went and withdrew them from the school. The 3 that were in school, I went and withdrew them from the school. And just, I always laugh about this because I had no ID. I had no
record. Oh my gosh. What year is this we're talking about?
Yes. Yeah. No way I could do this way. And then, you know, I'm a black guy. I'm going to get 3 kids out of school, and they just gave them to me.
Oh,
you know,
my gosh.
That's how far-fetched a black guy coming to get 3 kids was, especially in that day. Like, okay, if he's coming to get them, he's not kidnapping them. They got to be his, you know. And so I told him, I was like, oh, this is where they're going to go to school. And this is what's so crazy. I told them where I was going to take them. They was like, that is really a good school. They were actually excited for my kids.
Mm.
They were, you know, in that school, but they were excited they were going to a different school.
Yeah.
And so I got them in that school, and week or so later, mom calls back, and she's like, you know, basically the same story. Can you bring them back? And I was like, no, they don't even go to the same school anymore. And we had a long conversation, and, you know, I said, listen, I'm in a little bit better place than you are right now. Go ahead and get your things in order. And then as time passes by, we'll see, you know, how everything works out. And what's so crazy, 2 things. One is we never went to court. The kids never lived with her again. They stayed with me the rest of their school until they graduated high school. And about less than a month later, the guy she was dating was murdered.
Wow.
And so, yeah, you talk about divine intervention at a certain time. And so that was my first epiphany. And that was everything in me changed at that moment in time. I was doing hip hop. I was I had an independent national distribution deal at the time. I just released a new project. I was always a little different because my music always had a positivity in it, but it did have profanity.
Mm-hmm.
So I did use profanity. And I remember my auntie one time had heard some of my songs. And again, most of my songs, they really did say something. If you took the profane words out of, they were really kind of positive.
Mm-hmm.
But she was like, yeah, little Fred. You heard your CD and you sure can cuss. I'm like, that's all you got out of it, you know.
I have to laugh because, you know, when I'm kind of the opposite, when I listen to songs, I'll be, you know, I listen to the beat and everything and I'll be saying the words, but not really paying attention to what are. And how often do I catch myself like, oh, I just realized what this song is about that I'm bopping around and singing. But she was just honing in on the words.
Oh,
not,
she
like,
honed in on the words. I'll never forget that. She said, you sure can cuss. You know, we don't say curse. We say cuss. You know? C-U-S-S.
Yes, yes.
So, but that was the moment. You know, I have it was originally four of us in a group called DC Boys. And again, two of our members, they were a year older than us. And it was me and another guy named Darrell Davis. And we're still doing music together to this day. But when I gained custody of my kids, we had just released a project. And it's so weird because we just stopped doing music. We stopped promoting that project. We never sat down and said, we're going to retire. We're going to quit. We just stopped doing music for like 7 years. I never wrote a rap.
Oh my gosh.
It's the weirdest thing ever. But again, I had that epiphany and everything changed. My priorities changed. I had a reason. I had a different why. And so it all changed at that moment in time.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and yeah, a lot more time devoted to those kids.
Oh my God. Can you imagine me? I had three girls. And I was trying to do hair.
Yeah, learning all that. Oh, yeah.
Daddy hairstylist. I thought I was really, really good until they got older. And once they got old enough to do their own hair, they was like, let me do it. No. Can I do hair? No.
You are not touching this.
No.
So when did you get back into and start what you're doing now? So you said 7 years without writing or doing music. So... Well, one, I guess I want to know, what were you doing in the interim besides, you know, taking care of these kids? And then two, what launched you back in?
Oh, wow. It was a lot of stuff that went on. I was a type of guy. And I told you about my friend Daryl. We call him the Deekster, Player 1000 and the Deekster Daryl. He was so by the book. You know, I did a video called Two Different Paths. And we basically took two different paths. He has no children to this moment in time. He's not married to this moment in time. And but he just was a worker. He's a worker bee. You know, he went to work and he stayed where he'd been working, worked at UPS, still working at UPS, 29 years. And so he was always focused over there. I was always the happy-go-lucky guy. Mm-hmm. I was the get it done guy. I was the do guy. A lot of times I would jump in and do, and I wouldn't even have the blueprint. I would just do. I would just do. Still, in some cases, I'm kind of like that.
That's how entrepreneurs are, man. They just go and then they go, let me figure this out after.
Yes, exactly. That's so true. And that was me. And that's one of the reasons why we had some of the success that we had, because I did do.
Yeah.
But so I was trying to figure out how to raise the kids. I was working odd jobs. Mm-hmm. But I started coaching basketball. It was the weirdest thing. Because I played basketball and I was dead. You're not going to believe this. And you can't make this stuff up. Okay. So I have four kids, right? Kirsten, I started dating a young lady that had five kids.
Woo!
Yes.
You had almost two teams.
I had two teams. We could have played each other. We definitely could have played four.
Well, with the two of you, yes. Then you have more than, you even got some sub. A sub.
Oh my gosh. Could you imagine me? I used to take nine kids to the fun house. It was like nine of us at the fun house. Oh my God. So I started coaching her son. Her son was a little bit older. And about time my oldest daughter got to about the third grade, she was about nine. Well, the young lady I was dating, she had a nine-year-old third grader too, who was tall. Her daddy played basketball in college and overseas. He was about 6'8". So her daughter was really tall. Mm-hmm. My daughter was really fast. So I transitioned from coaching boys to coaching girls and started learning the ins and outs of it. And the team that I put together for those girls, guys, they became really, really good, like one of the best teams in the country.
Wow.
Yes. And girls from that team went to Tennessee, went to UCLA, went to Georgetown, went to Baylor, had big time kids, some of the best that ever came out. But during that process, I didn't realize I was actually learning the skills I needed that was gonna propel me to my business. So I was coaching the basketball, struggling to do it, but I did it.
Mm-hmm.
And as the kids got a little bit older, when it was probably about 7 years, like I said, after we stopped doing music, I got a call from a guy, and he said, "There's a guy in Dallas that's trying to get in touch with you. He wants to buy some of your old CDs, some of your old music." I said, "Okay, well, give him my number." So he calls me. And so, mind you, when we stopped doing music, we had just finished, we had just released a project. It was entitled For the Meal Ticket. Basically, what that means is everybody is working hard trying to make $1 million. You're out for your meal ticket.
Okay.
And so it still was street. You know, again, it had profanity in it. It was street, but it was still a lot of positive stuff on there. We didn't do very much with it. And so he calls me and says, man, I've been looking for trying to get in touch with you. It's people that want to buy that CD that you released entitled For the Meal Ticket. Do you still have any of them? And he said, because they really want the original. He said, you don't know this, but people are actually creating, they're black marketing your CD. They're pirating it.
Mm-hmm.
He said, but if you have the original, then I would like to buy some of them off for you for $20 a piece. And I'm like, $20 a piece? You know, when you're distributing CDs, people may buy them $6-7 wholesale.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
And so he's like, well, can I buy 20 of them off of you for $20? And I'm raising 4 kids. I always needed money. Yes, you can. Send me the money. Send me 400. I sent him 20. Call me back a week later. I said, man, can I get some more of those CDs? I said, yeah. Can I get $400 more? He said, yeah. He sent it to me. I sent it to him. Another week later, he calls me back. He said, man, I need to get some more of those CDs. I said, I got some more of those CDs, you know. And then he stopped. He's like, man, you've never asked me what I'm doing with your CDs. I'm thinking to myself, I was like, well, you know, they just kind of sitting in my garage. I couldn't imagine you doing anything illegal with them. He asked me if I was by a computer. I said, yeah. He said, go to eBay. So went to eBay. He said, put in Player 1000. I put in Player 1000. And I just looked at the screen like, what in the world is going on? He was doing 7-day auctions on my CDs. Come to find out, we had somehow found an underground art market overseas, like in Japan and Canada and Australia and Russia. And they were doing 7-day auctions on eBay. And the winning bid would be between $500 and $600 for one CD.
What?
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm sitting up there. I looked at the screen and I'm like, my mouth was just wide open. I'm like, what in the world is going on? This is the kicker, though. So whenever anybody
told you.
Yes, and I'll tell you why in just in a second. What's so crazy, and that's, again, that's more divine intervention, because you know most people would not have said anything to me about that. This is what was even crazier. Anybody that's ever did any 7-day auctions on eBay, they know that you can sell second chance offers to the losing bidders. So the losing bidders would be $5.98, $5.96, $5.95, $5.94, and on down. He was making about $10,000 off of those 20 CDs.
Oh, my gosh.
Yes. Unreal. Unreal. And so he said, man, he said, you probably think I'm crazy for telling you about this. He said a couple of things. He said, you just seem like such a cool dude. But also, I know we could do some business together, because I'm imagining that if you had that project, there are projects that you have that you didn't release. And he said, you have people that will pay crazy amounts of money for anything that you guys released, anything that you touch. And that's the case. He showed me how to do eBay. And I had like just CDs of people that we just produced that weren't even us, but it said produced by Player 1000 on it. I sold 3 CDs for $2,000.
Wow.
Yes. And so we did business. It was like, oh my God, it was divine intervention, because that was one of those periods in time where money was funny. And he came into my life at the right period, at the right time. And it really, God, it helped me get over some tough situations. We did a lot of really good business. But at the same time, it sparked me. It sparked my interest to getting back into music. And my kids were getting older and they were starting to get into hip hop. And I didn't like the hip hop they were getting into.
Mm-hmm.
So I called Dean. I said, Dean, let's go in. And our thought process was to go in and clean up the songs that had profanity because they had a positive message. I never let my kids hear my stuff that had profanity in it, my music.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we did. So we started cleaning up some of the songs, and where it might have been profane words, we just cleaned them up, and they still had the same impact.
Yeah,
they just were clean. And so that sparked me into writing again. But I knew that I'd never write songs with profanity in them anymore. And I knew that when I wrote, it had to be something positive. It had to have some type of message to it. And so the whole hip hop motivational thing was born. I started writing a song. And the first thing I wrote that really sparked my interest was trying to get you to see right like an optometrist, trying mm-hmm. to get you to see clear like an optometrist. And that spawned my 2020 movement.
Ah.
2020 vision. How clear do you see life? How clear do you see the game of life? And the younger we can get 2020 vision, the younger we can see things clearer, the more successful we can be. And the quicker we can see things clearer, the more we can clean up any mess that we've made. And so we actually started making new music, and we created an album called 2020 Vision that we released in 2007. And it just got us going again. And man, I started from there doing the motivational music. I hooked up with, came across Eric Thomas, Dr. Eric Thomas, E.T. the Hip Hop Preacher, and started doing these motivational videos called Make Every Day a Wednesday. I met him, and now I'm a part of his Game Changers program. As a matter of fact, I'm not sure if you know who Eric Thomas is or not.
No, I don't.
But he's like one of the number one motivational speakers in the world.
Okay.
So he's right up there with, have you heard of Gary Vaynerchuk? Gary
Yes, yes.
Yeah, he's like right up there with Gary Vee and Les Brown and Tony Robbins. He's just big like those guys. So I'm actually going to Las Vegas this weekend. There's a big conference called Thrive out there. A guy named Cole Hatter is putting on. And I'm going to shadow, you know, Eric Thomas. But it all started from that guy reaching out to us that got me back into the music, which led to motivational speaking, which led to motivational voiceovers. I'm the voice of probably 200 million views on voiceovers. If you ever listen to any Fearless Motivation or any of those type of motivational videos where they have the voiceover in the background and the music's playing and people are working out, if you ever listen to any of those, you've probably heard my voice and didn't even realize it was me.
Wow, that's awesome. Yes. So, all right. So you're combining motivational music with motivational speaking. And then how does this tie into what you're doing with basketball?
Actually, they're two separate entities, but I brought them together.
Mm-hmm.
So I host youth basketball tournaments. So what happened was, as I was coaching my kids, me and my assistant coach, we were just pretty much taking notes on the tournaments that we were playing in. In Tulsa, Oklahoma, there was one guy that was kind of the guru of tournaments. He would do one big tournament pretty much every month. Everybody would play in it. And so it was when I started coaching girls, that was kind of when the girls' basketball side was taking off for youth. And the boys was just taking off too. The boys already had taken off, but the tournament business was taking off.
Mm-hmm.
Independent tournament, not AAU.
Mm-hmm.
And so there started to be an increasing demand for more tournaments. And so he was only doing one a month, sometimes two. So we decided to throw our hat in the ring, follow his lead, and pretty much model our tournaments after him. And so we started hosting tournaments once a month on dates that he didn't have them.
Mm-hmm.
And so we started doing that, we started in the hood, started in really, really bad locations, bad gyms. But I tell people all the time, the key thing was we got started.
Right.
We got started. We didn't wait for the perfect time, the perfect moment. We said, we're going to be in the hood. That's where we're going to be at. We're going to start. We're going to start shaking hands, kissing babies. And that's what we did. And it grew, you know, and we started meeting people, but we started getting in better locations, but financially I wasn't doing any better. So I looked up 2 years later, I was still basically, I was 3 months behind on my rent, you know? And it was some other internal issues. And so I made a choice. I made a decision. Another one of those aha moments for me was when I said, I'm going to do this myself. I'm going to go solo, because I couldn't split anymore because I wasn't getting anywhere. Mm-hmm. My kids were getting older and they needed more. You know how they get older and they need more.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
for sure.
So I had to make a difficult, I got really uncomfortable because I'm a peaceful guy. I never like conflict. I never like controversy. I don't like stress, but I had to step out of my comfort zone, and I had to call my business partner and let him know that I was stepping away.
Mm-hmm.
And I told him, you can keep everything. You can keep the name. You can keep all the tournament titles. It's all yours. I'm going to do something different. And I sat down and I said, let me think for a second before I jump into the next venture. I knew I was still going to be doing tournaments. I just didn't know how. And I knew I needed to do something different,
mm-hmm.
because I wasn't making ends meet. And so basically I was losing, but I was learning,
yes.
You know?
Yeah.
And so I sat down, I said, what problem can I solve? Which we didn't do when we first started the company. We just kind of modeled after somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
We were like, man, we did his numbers. We're like, man, he's making good money doing this. And we thought that was just going to be the end all be all. And we did okay, but we didn't do that great. And then when you start talking about splitting, you
right.
know, And so I sat down and said, okay, what is it? I've been coaching a long time. What's the problem? What problem can I solve? And I said, okay, typically when we play in basketball tournaments, we're going to play Friday, Saturday, Sunday, or Saturday and Sunday. And I hear complaints all the time about playing on Sunday. People really, they did it because it was the culture, They really didn't want to play on Sunday. So I said, would it be profitable for me to host Saturday only tournaments? Let me explore that option.
Mm-hmm.
That was the first thing. That would be a problem. If I can pull that off, I'm fixing the problem if it would be profitable enough. Second thing was, we were following, again, the other gentleman's lead. He was hosting tournaments once a month. And so basically we thought he had the best dates, and it was all about what's the best dates. When does everybody want to play? We don't want to throw a tournament when no one wants to play. And I said to myself, let me stop trying to think and guess when people want to play. Let me just have a tournament every Saturday. Just make it like almost like a job. Mm-hmm. Then I don't have to guess. So if I miss you this week, maybe I'll catch you the following week.
Mm-hmm.
That was the next thing. And I was like, okay, I need to be really customer friendly. I need to really allow people to set their own schedule, give me schedule requests. I need to let them play the number of games they want to play, almost make it like a have it your way type of deal.
Mm-hmm.
Really different than what was going on. And I tell people all the time, I bet on myself and I hit on my bet. Yes.
In more ways than one.
Yes, because... So,
oh, go ahead.
I was just going to say, once I started the new framework, I mean, in 6 months, everything in my life was different.
Wow.
6 months and everything. I mean, financially, everything was different. And that was 10 years ago. And it hasn't changed. It's only got better. And so real quick to say, so within those tournaments, I host what is called success series. So once a month, I'll grab three or four of the teams. We'll bring them into a space. We'll get them pizza and what different things have tools and different materials we give them. And we basically pour into them and we give them tips and tricks to help them be better student athletes and better people. And so we do a student athlete success series within my tournament. So that's how it all ties back together.
Awesome. I love that. And while you were telling that story, I think you also threw a little nugget out there for other people who are working to make their impact in the world, which is you just got started.
Yes.
There's never going to be that perfect time. And
no.
And were there missteps? Yes. And did it go exactly the way you wanted it to? No. But what did you say you said you were losing but learning, was it?
Yes, I was losing but learning.
I love alliteration. So, losing but learning. And then you took what you learned and then did what is tough for entrepreneurs a lot of time. You sat down and did a little evaluation, a little analysis, right?
Self-assessed. Ah, it was tough.
Yes, it is. Like, pull back those reins, slow down a minute before you take the action. But you took what you learned and then combined it with what's a need, and that age-old question that is very good to ask about what's a problem I can solve.
Mm-hmm.
So take what's working okay, give it a little twist, and make something phenomenal.
Yes, 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 yes.
And that's love that you're combining, and that's got to be a draw for your tournaments as well, adding that success series in there. I mean, student athletes, what value are you adding on top of, I'm sure our great tournaments?
Yes. Well, people want to be safe. They want to feel safe. And people want to feel like they're in an environment where it's going to be, their kids are going to be able to grow. And I tell, you'll be amazed at how many coaches and how many parents you have to admonish, basically, because they forget the purpose why we're there. We're not there for you. We're not there for anything other than to help these kids have a successful experience. And they get caught up in the basketball game of it. I'm like, you need to be getting caught up in the life game of it.
Because
basketball doesn't mean anything.
Right.
If you as a coach, if you as a parent, even as a referee, if you're not pouring into these kids something that's going to help them be successful later on in life, then why are we doing this?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And even if you're the best player, talented wise, skill wise, if you don't have those other life skills, that's even going to stand in the way of your being super successful on the court.
Definitely.
Yeah. Awesome. So let me ask you, do you have any other words of wisdom for others who are there working to make their impact?
Yes. I always say that get started and do, like we said earlier,
mm-hmm.
but be mindful of your lane.
Mm-hmm.
Be mindful of your lane. Make sure you're operating within your gift. Because when you operate in your gift, then it's like you never work a day in your life.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're not being successful, take that. It's hard. Sometimes you got to set it down and you just got to put that pen to the paper or get your phone out and get your notes app or whatever you need to ask yourself the really difficult questions like I had to do.
Yes.
And then and answer them. Be transparent with your answers. Be truthful with your answers. And sometimes it may mean you need to step away. Sometimes it may mean you need to take two steps back so you can go forward, but put yourself in a position to be successful.
Yeah. Love that. Here's what I always say about when you were saying like follow your gifting so that you're loving what you're doing, which is so important because like let's just take a minute for that. Like the surrounding work of making your impact where you aren't probably in your gifting is going to be so tough and so challenging. And there's going to be times when there's bumps in the road and all that. You better be on a journey that you love, that is fueling your passion, that is filling you with joy. So yes. I always say my work is play and I love it that way. So, you gotta love the core of what you're doing. I mean, if you're making an impact, but you're hating every moment, not going down the right path. Well, oh my gosh, it's been so wonderful talking with you. Thank you so much. Great stories. You've overcome so much. I really appreciate everything you shared today. If you want to find Freddie Fry, you can, so I've got you down at courttimeevents.com, but where can they connect with just you? Like
they
where's the
do,
best place?
FreddieFry.com, FreddieFry.com. And then social media, just search Freddie Fry. You can search Freddie Fry or Freddie Fry Motivation and you'll find us. And please go like our YouTube page and check us out. We out here trying to do some really, really powerfully positive things in this world. My goal is to leave the world a little bit better than I found.
Oh, and I think you're doing more than that. I think you're leaving it way better than you found it, which is amazing. So I want to encourage everyone, connect with Freddie Fry, find his music. I'll have links to his social media as well at the show notes page for today's episode. So go to defeatthedrama.com, click on the podcast tab, and go to episode 161, and you will find links to connect with Freddie. So, yeah, it sounds like he's got some amazing options out there for motivation and probably some good bumping beats too.
It was so funny because you said that about the what you said about the work is play.
Yes, my work is play, and I love it that way.
Yeah, I have a song called "Work Is Done, It's Time to Go Play," and so it's like a super step song. So if you want me to take you out on a verse, I can take you out on a verse. What you want to do?
Yes, absolutely. Let's make it happen. Go.
Skipping to the money on some hopscotch was low level. Now we on some top notch. Topic trendsetter had to revamp. I was hiking with them slackers, had to break camp. Catch me on your campus chasing capital. Dropping daily diamond tips are practical. Tactical, my tactics always tactful. Impactful was bashful. Now the place is packed full. Had it's me and D. Davis on the main stage. Remember, we was broken in that pain stage. But chose to self-assess and got uncomfortable. Back in the days when I was irresponsible. Epiphany happened, call it God's work. Now life is like the lotto, watch them odds work in my favor cause I made the choice to transform. Lord had plans for him, made it through the sandstorm. They want to know how I got through what I've been through. Tell them I was sinful with swindle. Any soul that came in contact with my personal, but then I made that switch. And now my life is full and purposeful. They wonder why I say it's cause I got a why. And that's the reason why this wily vet is still the guy. I'm guided by the principles of success. And plus my mama watching over, so I stay blessed. It's been my honor and privilege.
Wow. Great way to go out. Thank you so much.
Thank you
so
much.
Yeah, that was amazing. All right, guys, get out there and find him and listen and be encouraged. All right, get out there, make your impact, and make it a great day.